York City.
The Comedy Cellar and Rethink Production present
My Average America Podcast.
We will make America great again.
How about you, crazy Dutch bastard?
Live from America Podcast.
I have a dream. One day, this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
No. Excuse me, just so you understand.
We can't be the stupid country anymore.
Live from America Podcast.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
It's just words, folks. It's just words.
This is Live from America Podcast with Noam Dorman and Haddam Gab.
All right, good evening and welcome to Live from America Podcast from the Comedy Cellar, the number one comedy club in the world. We have a great show for you tonight, a little different than the politics side. We're going to come back to politics, of course, but we have something very interesting that I've been looking forward to discuss with you for a long time, and we have a great guest too. First, I want to welcome Noam Dorman, the host of Live from America Podcast. Hello. Comedian Modi, and our main guest, Mr. Nick Pope, and he is a British journalist, was an employee at the British government, Minister of Defense, and he's best known for a role he undertook for the British government from 1991 to 1994, which involved investigation reports of the UFO sighting. Welcome, sir, to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
So you're the real Agent Mulder from the X-Files.
So I've been told, yes, the show came to popularity in the 90s at just about the same time I was doing that particular government job. So people started making the connection, and at first I thought it was a little silly, but now I think it's great fun.
Yeah. Well, and you work for the government, so this is not like just a regular guy using like conspiracy theories and all that. You actually work with a lot of data, and you have like inside information and all that, correct?
That's right. Yes, this there are a lot
real
of
smooth, real smooth, hot time, real easing into it.
Where he comes from, there is no distinction between conspiracy theories and the government. But go ahead, sir.
Also, the way he pronounces UFO is completely horrible. UFO.
I didn't even
UFO,
say it.
UFO. You did.
So usually,
well, you're gonna have to get used to my British accent on this show.
That's a difference between your accent and my accent. You can say anything, and it's very believable. Like Yeah, you actually know what you're talking about. Whatever I say, they're just going to make fun of me, especially two Jews here in the house.
Not if it's a ransom request.
I think that's what TV producers say.
Folks.
You know, that's what TV and radio producers say. They say, get me on the show, and whatever he says, his British accent will make him sound credible. He can say anything. It doesn't really matter.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, does it exist?
Yes.
Well, people see things in the sky that they can't explain. So in the literal dictionary definition term, yes, UFOs exist. What none of us really know is whether any of them are extraterrestrial. And if anyone tells you they know for sure, they're lying. No one knows. That's why we call it the UFO mystery.
Okay. So Modi, for example, here is a big believer of the UFO, right?
Yes. Also the UFOs.
Yeah. Well, we call it different in
the
movies.
I don't know. It's something addictive about watching all the documentaries on them, and I've seen every single one, and whenever there's a speaker somewhere, I'll go and listen to it. It seems almost like there's no way that it's not out there. That the visitors from other galaxies or whatever it is, it's unbelievable. My favorite thing, and this guy's going to be like, who is this idiot speaking? But the really, the
Did
things
I say that out loud?
No, not you. Him. I was talking about him. I already know what you think. I don't know. What really captivates me, and then I'll just shut up because you're probably more important to me. You know, it's the, it's that.
Isn't it in the Kabbalah?
No, not at all. But it's like, it's since the nuclear age, Yeah. They come to visit, and they visit. You always see them where nuclear testing sites are, and that, those types of stuff. Do you believe in this, Mr. Pope?
Yes. Well, that's the interesting thing. That's where you get into the whole skeptic versus believer debate, because these things, you're right, they're seen a lot around military bases and nuclear facilities. So, of course, believers say, wow, the aliens are coming to, you know, monitor our nukes. But the skeptics say, well, come on, this is probably just secret prototype spy planes, drones. It's our own stuff. And, of course, it would be around these highly classified facilities. That's where foreign military powers would fly their spy planes, and that's probably where we'd have quite a lot of drones for security. So you can argue it both ways. But I agree with what you said at the outset. I mean, in this infinite universe, I think the chances of it being just us are pretty slim. And in one way, we're not asking for any changes to the laws of physics as currently understood. I mean, we have taken our first steps, baby steps, out into space. You've only got to imagine a civilization in a universe 14 billion years old, a few thousands or millions of years ahead of ours, and it would be easy for them. And, you know, and one other thing that we used to say at the government when we used to investigate this was that the skeptics had to be right every day. The believers only have to be right once.
Right. You know, and it's also, it's easier when they, from all the things I've watched and read, and I'm super interested in this stuff, and this is Noam, I don't know if you can see right now, he wishes we were talking about anything but this.
Because the only thing that interests you more than this is astrology and zodiac signs. That's all. Go ahead.
I know
you believe in that stuff too.
That's, of course you believe in that stuff.
All right, go ahead.
This is the, you know.
Yeah, it's okay, Matt.
By the way, he had no idea this was the topic until 2 seconds
what
before.
What sign are you, Modi?
Annoyed, the sign of annoyed. That's the sign.
What sign are you?
I'm talking to somebody right now. Would you please? I'm so happy. I've been looking forward to this all week. Hi. It's the way that they always bring it on to the crazy people. First of all, I believe that in our government in America, I don't know about in Britain, the British government, but there's like the hierarchy, the hidden secret people, you know, like the Cheneys and all that, that they hide all the information. And they definitely don't want people to know that there's a whole thing out there, you know, because they've, I mean, I know what you're saying.
I was heading over I was watching the show about UFOs, and he really convinced me.
No, in the comedy world, it's called bombing, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going until the bomb.
Mr. Nicky, his question probably will be like, do you believe that the government and military are trying to hide information from us?
Listen, you schlubs. I have a good question, all right?
Oh, here we go.
Here's my question. I'm sure you're aware of this theory. I've heard it said that perhaps one of the reasons we have not seen a verified UFO is because in this infinite universe, whenever life gets to the point where interplanetary travel would be a possibility, the same technology ends up destroying them or setting them back, thousands of years into another new Stone Age. You've heard this theory before?
Yes.
Okay, what do you think about that?
Yeah, Frank Drake, who came up with an equation to try and work this out, talked about the longevity of civilizations. And he said exactly that point, that you reach a certain point of technological advance, and then all the things that we know about and can do, like nuclear power, like chemical and biological warfare, like global pandemics, one of those things comes up and bites every single civilization. And the other one, of course, that everyone's talking about right now, Elon Musk, big time, is AI and the kind of, I guess, the robot rebellion.
Right.
And
go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, there is a school of thought that says that when a civilization reaches a certain point, its own technology destroys it before it can really develop viable interstellar travel, just because things like lethal biological weapons and nuclear weapons are so much easier to make than to a spaceship that can literally travel the galaxy.
So would you say then that not knowing the subject of a radio show right beforehand is okay if you know a lot about a lot of different things.
I think that they're also holding technology back from us.
I think they're holding technology.
You can always wing it.
If you think, welcome to my career. I think we've. If you look at the way things have developed, you know, from the horse to the car to the this to the that, and then there's like a. It was like developing in technology like this, and then it like kind of plateaued.
Are you nuts?
It hasn't gone like in the same speed.
It's gone faster, you dummy.
We should have definitely by now had a car that doesn't need gas. Yeah, come on.
You mean like an electric car?
Yeah, but like on a much bigger scale than just a Tesla. I'm talking about we should all be on, facets of the government and people who are like billionaires in charge, they need to keep it controlled.
Modi, you're a conspiracy theorist too?
I'm not really a conspiracy theorist.
I have to apologize to you, Mr. Pope.
I can't wait for him to say I agree with him 100%.
He doesn't agree with you. Go ahead.
I am actually a conspiracy skeptic, but that doesn't mean that from time to time the government obviously across a whole range of issues has things that it doesn't want you to know about. I mean, that's I think, taken as a given.
But I don't,
I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists. In fact, I've made quite a stand against conspiracy theorists who say, oh, we didn't go to the moon and JFK was kind of killed by, you know, LBJ and Marilyn Monroe, et cetera, et cetera, 9/11. I don't believe any of that.
Yeah,
Bill Cosby's a rapist.
Yeah, but, for the record, just speaking there. Of landing in the moon,
a romantic.
But I forgot what I was gonna say.
Well, speaking of landing in the moon, just for the records, I wanna say something that the Jews were not there first. Just to make sure that so you guys don't come later and say like,
because there's no waterfront property. Oh. What are you gonna do over there?
I can prove to you that you're wrong, Modi. You make the mistake of thinking that the only people working on this project are Americans and that we could somehow control it. I know you're a racist and everything, but there are very, very smart peoples elsewhere in the world, like the Japanese, the Koreans, the Chinese, the Israelis.
The Brits,
who don't have oil, who are extremely highly motivated and perfectly capable of developing these technologies on their own, yet they don't.
Okay.
So it is not – the American government doesn't
control
them.
All those countries as well, if I may, and you can back me up on this or leave me hanging again. all those countries, their prime ministers have all said that there is extraterrestrial life out there, that there is something out there.
Belgium did. Yeah, I think so.
England, your prime ministers have said
this. Everybody knows there's life out there. The question is whether when you see something in the sky, it's a flying saucer. I don't think anybody thinks – nobody's going to say, no, we're the only people in the universe.
Well, let's ask the expert, Mr. Pope. What do you think?
I'm pretty sure he's going to agree with me that...
Do you guys know each other from
almost before? Every thinking person, given the fact that the universe is infinite, certainly would say, yeah, there's probably other life out there, right?
Yes, that's right. The real question is, as you say, can any of it ever get here? Are the laws of physics an absolute barrier to faster than light travel? Or are there all the sorts of workarounds that sci-fi writers know and love, like warping space-time and going through wormholes?
Or just having civilization reproduce, you know, over 1,000 years in the space.
Exactly. Or just sending unmanned probes. I mean, after all, we're doing that now, and given a few 100,000 years, our two Voyager probes and our two Pioneer probes will reach other stars.
So the technology is there. So you are convinced that we are not alone?
Oh, I'm convinced we're not alone, but I don't know that any UFO sightings are necessarily aliens visiting us. I'd like to think they were. I mean, I think the world would be much more interesting with aliens visiting than without.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of these people who says it's a done deal and it's a proven case. It isn't. Look, where I worked in the British government, we've just declassified and released tens of thousands of pages of UFO files. And basically they say even we in the government, we don't know. But lots of interesting sightings, pilots, military personnel, UFOs tracked on radar. But not once did we say for sure this is alien.
So are you a doctor? I call you Dr. Pope?
No, I'm not.
Mr. Pope. So, you know, when me and my business friends hang out together, you know, we usually talk about The Godfather and stuff like that. What movies do you UFO types like really enjoy watching? Which are your favorite ones, like the smartest takes on subjects that interest you. Close Encounters, well, think, or you 2001?
Yeah, Close Encounters of the Third Kind was an absolute classic, of course. Contact is a good example of a more thoughtful take on the whole UFO and alien life question. Arrival, the movie last year with Amy Adams, good movie as well. So, there are lots of great, entertaining movies with aliens like Independence Day and of course, Outer Space. Yeah, absolutely. And Ridley Scott's Alien franchise. But there are some, those are good shoot 'em up kind of all guns blazing alien invasion type movies. But something like Contact and Arrival, I think, is more thoughtful. And those are the movies I prefer.
I got to watch that.
How about documentaries on UFOs?
You have one, right?
I'm in most of them.
No, I know you're in most of them, but I'm saying you have your own one, right?
No, I don't actually. I contribute to everyone else's, but haven't yet got my own one. I think there's a number of people talking about how best to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I think you should do it.
I have a question.
That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, go ahead, Deepu.
Deepu has a question.
Okay, so when you first started out to investigate UFOs, where did you start? Did you start with interviews? Did you start with visual evidence?
I went back through the archive of government files. So the very first thing I had to do was kind of do a whole bunch of reading going back to the 1950s, which is when the UK Ministry of Defence first got into that. But on day one, obviously the newly reported sightings did come in. They didn't kind of stop so I could catch up on the reading. So, I had to do all the things you mentioned as well. Interview the witnesses, take down all the details, check to see if anything was tracked on radar. If we got photos or videos, send those off to our technical analysts and get them to interpret it. But basically, it's a whole load of research. And I was not the first person to have had this job. Somebody had been doing this since the 50s in the UK, since the 40s in the US. So there were a whole bunch of people before I got into this, and I had to catch up with what they thought.
So I have a question too. Why were you chosen? Like, what did they find on you be like the head of that department?
No particular reason. I was just due for a move and the vacancy came up. It was just one of those bizarre things. Everyone thinks there's some great
but I read
plan.
I read that you also really did not believe in it, and that's was one of the reasons they chose you. Is that correct?
That's probably true. I don't think you'd want a believer in that job. And I must say, when I was first given it, I thought that, oh, well, I thought there goes my career. I'm not going to get a job in the Secretary of State's office if I've got this on my CV. But it was good fun. It was fun. It was interesting.
Well, I think the human race could certainly do worse than having you as our representative to meet alien from another planet. You're very, very fine. Better than the hot tub, that's for sure.
Why better than me? So in 2009 it was closed.
Actually, you'd be good too.
And I'll be good.
They wouldn't be able to understand your English.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to speak English to them.
The joke.
It'd be great if they were Muslim.
They don't speak English,
it'd be great
dummy.
If they came down as Muslims.
They both are Trump supporters. When I told them that we're talking about aliens, they thought we're talking about Mexicans, but thank you, Deepu.
Yeah, thank you for not laughing. Thank you for not laughing, Deepu. At that horrible joke.
In America, we don't laugh at jokes like that.
So my question is, in 2009, the program was closed. Why was that?
It was, despite the conspiracy theorists, there were nothing suspicious about it. It was just defense cuts. I think the other thing is, from a presentational point of view, we'd been in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, and it was very, very difficult to justify spending taxpayers' money on UFO research when we had young men and women going off to places like that and sometimes not coming back. So when the kind of government accountants were looking for something to cut and save money, I'm afraid it was an easy target. But I'd moved on by then, so it didn't affect me directly, I have to say.
Sir, I have a question. What are the next practical frontiers in your line of research in your area?
Well, I think that the UFO field has a real image problem. There's no getting away from the fact that there are a whole bunch of kind of cranks and charlatans in the field. So I think the way to take things forward is to kind of somehow ditch those people, take the sensible ones, reach out to the scientific community, and particularly, of course, to the people in the astrobiology community and the SETI people, the radio astronomers. Try and forge some closer links with those sorts of people and put this on a proper footing. And instead of having this pointless skeptic versus believer debate about, you know, do they exist, don't they, are we being visited, aren't we, is there a cover-up or isn't there, you know, you're never going to get away from polarized views there. So get beyond those questions and ask the more smart and interesting questions, like, well, if we do detect alien life, what next? You know, what are the implications in terms of science, technology, politics, religion, philosophy, those questions.
If you heard that a flying saucer landed on planet Earth, how scared would you be?
I think I would be concerned about the potential biological hazard. And of course, that's one of the questions that maybe the astrobiology community and people like NASA who do think about these sorts of things, they've got a point. So I'd be scared, but not in a sort of run for the hills, the aliens are coming way, but in the terms of, is there some lethal pathogen there that's going to end all life on Earth?
I mean, if the USS Columbus or something landed, but you know, if it was white men landing on another planet somewhere else in the universe, we would probably tell them they ought to be scared, right, Deepu?
That's right.
That's right. That's what Deepu's a brown man, and he nothing scarier than a white man.
I forgot which one it was.
They're taking down Columbus's statue in New York City, by the way. I don't know if you heard this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're thinking about taking down a statue. So that's why I thought it would be a good name for an alien spaceship. Go ahead.
That's funny.
And it was a lot of, he spread pathogens, Columbus did. Go ahead.
Yeah. There was one documentary I was watching. I forgot which one it was. Like I said, I watched them all.
You're a Scorpio, aren't you?
No. Oh, my God. I'm so insulted.
I'm Scorpio. What's wrong with that?
Go ahead.
You're miserable Virgo. there's one that there's one guy that was a really amazing philosopher, and he nailed everything right, and he was saying that, like, the government's going to turn everybody against Iranians, and then eventually they were going to turn them all against North Jews, Korea, and then eventually turn the country against alien, you know, make the fear of against aliens. So, you know.
Well, yes. I mean, Ronald Reagan very famously made a speech to the UN General Assembly, and he said, I occasionally think how quickly we would set aside our differences if we faced some threat from beyond the earth. And then he went on then to talk about communism. But yeah, there are people who believe that. There are people who believe it would be a uniting factor. But there are other people. Here's an interesting, slightly bizarre conspiracy theory. There are people who believe not that the government are covering up aliens, but the government have created belief in aliens and that they're going to fake an alien invasion so that they can bring in something bigger than the
right.
Patriot Act, and the whole New World Order or Illuminati or whatever you believe is going to take over. Now,
right.
I don't believe that, but I'm just telling you there are people out there who believe that kind of stuff.
It depends. It can unite it. It depends on the color of the aliens, I guess.
No.
Green.
Depends on their gender identity.
Who could object to green?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I want a little green cisgender alien.
So the I want to talk about the alien abduction because it's one of Morty's fantasies, but also.
I know that's funny.
And that's with Mexicans.
But also because we thank you. I'm the funny one here.
I'm looking, but just so the people who are listening and not watching, the this scientist and person of a government that we have in the I'm looking at his face and he's like thinking, what has happened to my career?
Yeah.
I am on this podcast. How have things gone so wrong? I was reporting to the Prime Minister of England and now I have Hatem doing one-liners.
This is.
I'll thank you not to badmouth our podcast.
Yeah. No, I'm
first
sorry.
Of all, this is the number one comedy club in the world. So what are you talking about?
Of course.
About? So yeah, Mr. Pope, so we go back to my question, the alien abduction. Any what is there any evidence that actually happened?
Not really. I think, you know, we've got a whole bunch of stories, and I guess some legal people will tell you that eyewitness testimony is not something just to be written off out of hand. However, until somebody comes back with a kind of, you know, made in Alpha Centauri, yeah. I mean, until someone steals something off one of these ships,
yeah,
all we've got is a whole bunch of stories. And sad to say, what we probably are dealing with is some people who are just making it up, some people who are having a very vivid dream or hallucination, and some people who have got some sort of psychological delusion.
You know, so one of the documentaries, so you know, that the government always lets people talk about the crazier the people are. They want them to think, you know, like, these are who are seeing the sightings, and it's like the craziest people. It's never like a regular person, you know. It's someone's just a drop off, right? And then there's this one documentary about a guy who, anybody watches a documentary, they say, oh my God, he's definitely something. I forgot the name of the guy.
Doesn't matter.
But there is some military right? There is some military
many
people that
pilots
were witnesses.
Of all pilots, yeah. But there was this one guy, and you and everybody that they interviewed that knows him has been around him, like, okay, this guy definitely had some kind of a situation. And the documentary is amazing, and it's done, and out of nowhere they have one, like, he videotapes, and you can see it's like a cardboard alien coming up, and I'm like, oh, this is where the whole thing is shot.
Oh wait. I have a good question, actually. What about the you're probably about my age, the Chariot of the Gods, remember that movie about the aliens coming and mating with ancient Egyptians and that and building the pyramids and all that? That theory got some credence at the time. Is that out of favor now?
No, I mean, that was, of course, Eric von Daniken's famous book, Chariots of the Gods. And now the TV show Ancient Aliens has kind of resurrected that whole ancient astronaut theory. I'm on that show myself, but most times I'm on there as the skeptic because I don't believe that aliens came down and built the pyramids, that sort of stuff.
No, Jews did that.
Yeah. I think it might have been the ancient
matzah?
Egyptians.
That's why we eat matzah.
Go ahead.
But you know, I think those theories are actually quite disparaging to the kind of architectural and engineering genius of some of our ancestors.
The Egyptian, and their
slaves.
The Egyptian, the Egyptian, us. First of all, the Jews were not involved in the pyramids, and I can prove it. The complaint box was empty next to the pyramid. Nothing.
As a matter of fact, we're going to cut that out.
Go ahead, sir. Yeah, keep going. I'm sorry. We have to.
But you're going back to your other question. Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you wanted to debunk this, in a sense, you wouldn't have to, because you can have all the pilots and generals and radar operators in the world. Then you put one person wearing a tinfoil hat up on the TV show. And that's it. Game over.
Absolutely, yeah.
I guess we're about out of time. Do you know a British comedian named Joel Lycett?
I'm afraid not.
Okay. I saw him the other day for the first time. I thought he was very, very funny. I think he's kind of famous in England. So, anyway.
Well, I've lived over here.
He's the Lenny Marcus of England.
He's been in the United States for a few years, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've lived here since 2012, so I'm a little out of touch with the scene back in the UK.
Ah, I thought he was in the UK. I'm sorry.
No.
And you predicted that there's going to be a surge in the sighting in the eclipse, correct? That was in the news yesterday, and that you're.
That's right, but it was an easy bet. It was an easy prediction. I mean, you've only got to have millions of people looking up at the sky in a focused state of mind in unusual viewing conditions. Someone's going to see something. Chances are it was just news helicopters, but I made my prediction and it came true.
All right.
Dr. Stephen Greer, do you believe in all of his
Well, no, I see him around from time to time. He's what we call in this field a colorful character. I like the guy, but we don't agree on much.
I've been called a colorful character on this show especially.
Well, Mr. Pope, thank you so much
thank
for
you
being
so
here.
Much.
And if you ever come to the city, come visit us at the Comedy Cellar, please.
You get the best guests. You really get great guests.
Yes.
You're talking about Modi?
No, you. Yeah.
Of course. I've been looking forward to this. We've been talking for a few months, actually, trying to book a date. It's very busy, and I'm really honored that we get to meet you finally. And whenever you come to New York City, please come to the Comedy Cellar.
I will do. Seriously, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
please. And would you like to share any contact information for the fans?
My website is nickpope.net, and there's a whole bunch of information there about my government work, some of my research and investigation. So nickpope.net, everything's there.
Excellent. And of course, your book, Open Skies, Closed Minds.
Yes, all the books are on there too. So everything's on the website.
All right, great.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great night. Thank you for being at the show.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
You were listening to Live from America podcast. To contact us, please go to www.livefromamericapodcast.com. Brought to you by the Comedy Cellar and Rethink Production.